I'm going to be reading with you verses 1 through 10 of Titus chapter 2. You can either turn in your Bibles there with me, or you can follow along in the screen behind me. I'll be focusing on verses 3, 4, and 5 of Titus chapter 2 on this Mother's Day. This is God's word to us this morning. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. This is God's word, and that is God's gift to us this morning, this truth. If you will turn to your bulletins this morning, I want to make a note for you. You'll notice that this morning's sermon is entitled in the bulletin, Freedom for Slaves to Our Jobs Through Serving Jesus. That may sound very strange this morning if you are a mother. You are not a slave as a mother. Many weeks ago when we planned this sermon series, I planned to speak on verses 9 and 10, and I did so until it became fully apparent to me and my conscience was burdened that instead of preaching in verses 9 and 10 at this moment, I would preach in verses 3, 4, and 5. And I want to do that for this reason. You will remember that the book of Titus is written to encourage an early church. In other words, what things are required in order for the church to prosper, to be strong, and to thrive? In the previous chapter, we read about leaders in the church. At least we read about elders, pastors, and deacons. And maybe you think to yourself, in order for any church, this church in particular, to thrive, we need good elders and deacons and pastors. Praise the Lord. But guess what else we need? We need not only leaders who are elders, deacons, and pastors. No, Titus 2, verses 3, 4, and 5 also tells us that we need men and women who are actively engaged in the process of discipleship. In other words, discipleship is not a calling simply of someone like me. It is the calling of each person who follows after Jesus Christ. In fact, if you look at the description of Jesus' followers in the early New Testament period, they are identified as disciples. And their task, as we're hearing about on Sunday evening, is to be disciple-making. Which brings us this morning to the women who are here in our church. And I want to introduce this main idea from this passage by telling you a short story. A number of years ago, I was meeting with a man. He was another pastor. And we were talking together about what we did in the evening, and I lamented over the fact that I feel sometimes like I waste my evenings. And he said to himself, I like to read, and I read a lot. And this man went on to describe to me all the things that he had read, even in the last month. There were a whole bunch of theological books. He had read about this thing and that thing, the latest thing to be learned. He was certainly a man who read widely and deeply. And after all that was done, I said, so what do you do? What are you reading these books for? Are you doing a Bible study, for example, on the hypostatic union between the two natures of Christ? Is that what you're doing? He said, no, it's not for that. I said, what is it for? He said, it's simply so that I would know these things. Well, there's some value to that. But in addition to simply knowing things, any pastor or church leader is called to know in order to train. We are not professional theologians simply learning. We are learning in order to instruct and to train and to help along the people of God. That story also captures the calling this morning of Titus chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 5. And I'm going to talk this morning to a particular group of women in our church. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands at this point, but it is the women in our church that would consider themselves older. To them this morning, in Titus chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 5, there is a calling given to you. And it is a calling that I will summarize in just a minute, but I just want to give it a big title for you that is the big idea, so that when you go home and you wonder what was the sermon about, it'll be very easy to remember. The big idea in this passage is a simple one, and that is God calls you as an older woman to disciple younger women. It's that simple. If you look back at verses 3, 4, and 5, you will see why I am saying that. And I want to start by looking at verse 3, the first two words, where it says, older women likewise. Likewise what? If you go back to the first part of that chapter, it says, but as for you, that is directed to Titus, the pastor of the church, it says, teach what accords with sound doctrine. And then it goes on to describe how older men have a role to play in the teaching and the discipleship ministry of the church. You might expect that after what Titus had been told in chapter 1. Pastors, elders, older men usually fill those roles. They are called to teach and to train. And then in verse 3, there is a surprising turn where Titus is told, and older women likewise. This is not merely a task for elders, deacons, and pastors. Nor is this a task simply for men. No, the surprise we might learn is that the task of teaching is not for elders, pastors, and deacons alone. It is not just for older men. It is also for who? You can all read it there. Older women. That's also the calling. Now you might wonder this morning, who are these older women? Who are these older women? I want to tell you. In general terms, at the point at which this passage was written, older women would have indicated someone who was probably late 50s, early 60s. Why am I saying that? Because by that time, for many of the women who are being addressed here, their own families were raised and moved out of the house. And now the older women category applies to somebody who's already been through it and has experienced a considerable number of years and is now called to apply that wisdom and that teaching to those who are in that spot in life. And to these older women, what does the apostle say through Titus? He says there are two things, and it is a major theme of this book in regard to older women. There's the same connection we read about in chapter 1 and we would see in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and that is what we say is true must be matched by what we do. In other words, Titus is about action that matches words. It is about faith and faithfulness in action. And he begins here in verse 3 by saying, look at the personal qualities of these older women who are called to teach. It says they are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. Now, each one of these things is a personal characteristic. These are the kind of characteristics that Paul says to Titus should characterize these older women. What is this reverence or this sober-mindedness about? It is really a call to wisdom to know about what to say and when. Let me give you an example. Let's imagine that you have a friend whose husband is in the hospital. And you go with your friend to the hospital, and this husband is very near death. It's very serious. And you feel about a little bit awkward going there. And when you walk into the room and you see the serious situation, you don't know what to say. You think, here is the perfect time to tell that joke about what happened when Noah turned out the lights. Some of you know that joke. It ends by, well, he was in the dark ark. Now, maybe you think that's funny, maybe you don't. Kids tend to think it's rather humorous. But everybody recognizes telling a joke at that moment is entirely inappropriate. It's not the time to tell a joke. It's not the time to be lighthearted. It's not time to be funny. This is a serious occasion that requires serious words. Paul says that is characteristic of a reverent or a sober-minded woman. She understands the right thing to say at the right time. It doesn't mean she can't have a good laugh or she doesn't know the right time to have fun. She can have tons of fun at all sorts of times. But she has developed the wisdom to know in her behavior and her actions the right time to be serious and sober-minded, and then the right time to be lighthearted and to be jovial. And if she has learned the difference between the two and she can speak in the right way to the right occasion, what she will demonstrate to the younger women is that she has the character able to speak to her. In addition, Paul says to Titus, not only is this woman sober-minded and suitable for service because of the sober-mindedness, she is also self-controlled, not a slanderer, not a slave to much wine. Now, not a slanderer brings to mind something that happened in my small town a number of years ago. I'm going on 50 years of age, so if you back up about 40 years, I grew up in a town of about 1,000 people. Do you know what it's like to live in a town of 1,000 people? I'll tell you very simply, everybody knows everybody, and not only everybody, but everybody else's business. And I knew even from an early age, there's a group of women in our church that got together 2-3 times a week, and they had coffee together. I almost put air quotes around coffee. And the reason I did that was because they called it the coffee klutz. And it was really a group of women who got together to talk. And it wasn't always about Bible verses. It was about what was going on in the church and in the community. And that kind of conversation wasn't always the most upbuilding. Well, Paul says to Titus, listen, these are not women who are slanderers, who talk evil about someone else, who are seeking to harm another person. It's not only a prohibition against lying, it's a prohibition against the malicious intent that demonstrates itself in so many ways. Why does he say this is so important for someone, an older woman, who seeks to train or to teach a younger woman? It is because all of us know that if you're in a conversation and your conversation partner is telling you the juicy news about someone else, as soon as you leave the room, you might have the awareness that they're not only talking about a third person, who else are they talking about? Probably me. And if that happens, all trust is gone from that relationship. How open are you going to be if you know that you become the topic of conversation? It's not going to work. And so the apostle says, credibility shows up not only in the wisdom of knowing what to say, credibility also shows up in knowing that you shouldn't say something. That credibility is also demonstrated in not giving too much wine. This is the particular example that the apostle uses in talking about something that is self-indulgent, something that we do simply to make ourselves happy, and there is no limitation on what we're willing to do. Maybe that thing is drinking too much wine. Maybe it's some form of self-indulgence. Certainly there's nothing wrong with having a good time. I've already noted that. But in this context, Paul is warning Titus and the women in this church that if self-indulgence, seeking to please yourself is what motivates your life, something is tragically and seriously wrong, and you will lack the integrity to be able to train those that you are around. Which brings me to the heart of this section of verses. Verse 3 says, right at the end, they are to teach what is good. In fact, if you look at everything that surrounds that phrase, this phrase is the heart. They are to teach what is good. That is to say that women are called to teach. Now, I say that with recognition that there are many other places in the Bible, some very specific, where the call to teach has its limitations. For example, the Apostle Paul says in another pastoral epistle, women should not teach or have authority over a man. And we have taken that within our church, I think rightfully, to mean that everyone in the church is called to teach under submission to the leadership of the church. That's exactly what I'm doing here this morning. And there are instances in which appropriate teaching must take into account who is being taught. And the apostle says, not in disagreement with these words, that women are called to teach, but called to teach within a certain context. If a woman was called by a congregation to preach authoritatively like I'm doing now, that would not be in accord with the rest of Scripture. But there are many places where women are called to teach. And in this particular place, the calling to teach is focused specifically, and this is the kind of thing that should be repeated over and over and over. They're called to teach and instruct as older women those who are younger. To give you some examples of what I mean, that teaching may be very formal. It may be in a church setting. It may be a women's study of some sort. I am so thankful that in the last number of months, our women's ministry team has been talking about the responsibility and the calling of women in this church to disciple those who are around them. And one of their main callings is to teach the truth of God's word to those who are younger, those who are called to learn. That teaching might be less formal. It might be within your home. It might be in your community. It might be something of that sort. But the calling is to instruct according to the word of God. To teach and to unfold what it says in the scriptures, particularly in the area in which you have wisdom and experience. So what is it that these older women are called to teach? Verses 4 and 5 tell us. In fact, if I've been speaking to older women up to this point, now's the time where I speak to younger women. You're in the throes of it, doing whatever it is God has called you to do. You do not consider yourself older because you're not older. And now in this passage, what is it that God calls older women to teach you? Notice there are a series of things. First, he says that they are called to love their husbands and to love their children. Now, of course, you might say, what is it if God has not given me a husband or children to love? Does that mean there's nothing that I am to be taught? No, that's not what the apostle is saying. He is speaking to what may be true for many women, that they've been given a home, a husband, children to love. The calling to love is over all of that. The calling to love children and their husband is a particular application of that love. That love calling is not only true for every Christian, it is also central in the calling of every single woman. You know, as I know as a man, that to love those around you can be a very difficult task. God has gifted us, perhaps, with people who really challenge our ability to love. And the apostle says, what is it that older women are called to teach? What is their task? Their task is, first and foremost, to teach women, younger women, how to love. And especially for many women, how to love their husbands and children. Further, he says, to teach him to be self-controlled. To be self-controlled is really what I would describe as being discreet. Discreet. It is used in reference to women in their calling to be virtuous. That is, to practice those things that are accord with the Spirit of Christ. It has reference to sexual purity, but it's far wider than that. It refers to a self-controlled character in every part of life. You notice how there's a match to what he said should be characteristic of the women who are called to teach. They're to have self-control, and now they are called to teach the younger women how to likewise have self-control. God knows, my dear sisters in the Lord, how difficult that can be. As a man, I have my own particular struggles to be self-controlled. As a woman, whether you're younger or older, you know the calling and how difficult it can be to be self-controlled. How are you going to accomplish that? How is the Spirit of Christ and His calling to live under the control of that Spirit going to be evidenced in your life? Here's the truth that I want you to hear. God has not called you to simply take these words, go home, and say, now I'm going to try harder, and magically it's going to happen. No, if you're a younger woman, God has given you a great gift in this church. Look around at the older women who are here. Why are these women here? Not just to praise God and to worship Him, but also to be used in the service of Christ in His work of discipleship. So that if you have an area in your life where you say, I just don't know what it means to follow Christ here, I want to love those around me, but what does self-control look like in this particular place? God has given you older women to help. Further, he says, they are called to teach them how to work at home, to be kind and submissive to their own husbands. Again, this is true for every woman, but for many women, the calling that they have received, that you have received, is to be busy in your home and to have a right relationship with your children and with your husband. And that calling is often despised. And it would be easy for me to say that it is despised culturally. I think it is often also despised by husbands and often by the church. I am not suggesting, and the Apostle Paul is not arguing, that every woman should simply sit at home and never have a job or anything of that sort. He's not saying that. What he is saying is that women as men are called to have a rightly ordered relationship with their children and with their husbands. One that reflects the teaching of God's word. And that is a very difficult thing to do. And again, because of that, God has not given you this command and then told you, just make it happen. No, he has called you within a body of believers, with older women who have struggled with, how do I relate to a difficult husband? How do I help my children when they're struggling? What does it mean to submit to my husband in the Lord? God has given you the gift of older women who are called this morning to be active and busy in your life. In many ways, the calling of older women to disciple younger women is simply, as I said at the beginning, a reflection of the concern of this book. It is one thing for us to say we are called to follow after Jesus Christ. There you go. Go and do it. It is quite another thing for us to say the call comes with the means by which that is to be accomplished. And this morning on this Mother's Day, I do not want you to take what I've said simply as a heavy burden placed upon your back. If you're an older woman or a younger woman, older woman, now I have this whole other thing to do, younger woman, man, I'm a failure and I need so much help. That's not the spirit with which this passage comes to you this morning. This passage comes to you with the grace of Jesus Christ. With the news that Jesus not only calls you to these things, but he has called you within a body that means to help us grow and to mature in following after him. If you are an older woman this morning, there is a calling, and it is your calling. I want to emphasize that sense of calling. I can tell you over and over in this book what it means, but I cannot make it happen for you. We can provide structure, but you must have the willingness to be involved. There is a whole structure that is developed and is developing to help you in this calling to use your time and your effort as you disciple those who are younger within the body. And for those of you who are younger, my younger sisters in the Lord, your calling this morning to you is to be open to this discipleship. Maybe you say, that's easy. I have a heart that longs for that. I see the places in my life where I'm challenged. I'm ready. Just show me what to do. Or maybe you look at your life and you say, I don't want someone else to see the mess of my existence. What if someone who's older and seems to have it all together would see the kind of life I have? What do I do? For you, the calling is rather simple. Please don't neglect the willingness of others to help. I need the help of others. I will be overt in telling you, I meet with an older man once a month because I need to be discipled. I meet with a peer every single week to talk through what's going on in our lives because I cannot grow after Jesus Christ by myself. No one else is able to do that either. If it were possible, you would not need the church. But because it is not possible, God places us within the body for the benefit of the whole. Let me refer you to one place before I finish this morning. It's from Ephesians chapter 4. There, the apostle is describing the various gifts that are given to the church. There's a whole range of them. He's describing the gift that leaders are to the church, pastors, elders, deacons. And he's saying, this is good. This is for the benefit of the church as a whole. But when it comes to what I would say the most critical point in the passage, he says this: the body grows up when every part does its part, causing us to grow up into Jesus Christ, who is our head. This morning, I wanted you to hear the grace that is infused in Ephesians 4 and also Titus chapter 2, because it is gracious. This is not only Mother's Day, but within the church of Jesus Christ, it is a celebration of relationships that lead to greater godliness. And the church of Jesus Christ stands ready and prepared to help us in that calling. Happy Mother's Day to each one of you who is a mother. May the joy of what the apostle says here carry you through this day, but also through the next weeks and months and years. Let's go to our God in prayer. Father, we bow before you this morning, listening to the words of this text, conscious of the fact that often we do wander from you. I know that in my own heart, as a not just a pastor, but a calling, the calling you've given me to be a husband and a father, I know how challenging that can be. How I also need self-control, how I need to learn to love those around me. And I pray this morning for the benefit, for the growth of our church as a whole, that we would not see women as simply those who are called to serve the food or to staff the nursery, but we would see that you call us as a body to be intricately involved in the growth and discipleship of those around us. Father, there is no greater joy There is no deeper satisfaction than to walk after our Savior in faithfulness. Father, would you grant your Spirit to work into our hearts and our lives the truths that have been proclaimed this morning. We pray that they would be truthful, but more than that, your word would make them effective in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.